and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I hope that in the last week that you have been praying for the various events taking place in our country. By the time that you listen to this, much more of life will have been lived. It doesn't take long to live a lot of life, does it? What we see in our lives is that from moment to moment, things can happen that we don't expect. Maybe life occurs, the birth of a child. Maybe death occurs, the loss of someone that we love, maybe someone that we don't even know, maybe someone we respect, but we just have never met. Various things happen, don't they? I hope you've been praying. Be opening your Bible to Mark chapter 16. We'll be there in just a moment. We have been discussing over the last couple of sessions our awareness of the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you remember, last Lord's Day, we considered 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter claimed to be an eyewitness to the life of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul in that sense buttressed that statement by saying that Peter, along with many others, more than 500, were witnesses of Jesus being alive. And then we went to Matthew chapter 28. Remember, we walked through the event of the women coming to the tomb, the earthquake had occurred, the stone rolled back, the angel sitting there on top of the stone, the guards having passed out, the women dialoguing with Jesus, the guards waking up and going and telling the Jewish leadership what it was that had happened, that an angel had come and rolled back the stone, was sitting there. And the reaction was, pay him off. Keep them quiet, from the Jewish leadership. And that's what the guards were asked to do. And from the women, the reaction was very interesting. Fear. And immediately running to tell like they had been told, and then seeing Jesus. And the discussion that was had there. Go and tell them to meet me in Galilee. And the later part of Matthew chapter 18, chapter 28, from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, records that very meeting. And even at that point, some were still doubting what was going on. They, you know, because like we said last week, what do you expect when a person dies? You expect that they'll stay dead. It's not something that you and I can restore. It had to be the act of God, right? Mark chapter 16 records the incident of the reaction to the resurrection. And we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 1, and going down through verse 8, the statement that is made. Listen and read. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The events of the resurrection and the witnesses to the resurrection must be taken in stereo, that is, put together and blended together. Now, there are several studies that do that with this. Right now, we're going to just consider the statement that's made. I want you to notice in the end of verse 1 of chapter 16 what the women came for. They didn't come to see that Jesus had been resurrected. Now, they didn't expect that. You know, there are some later apocryphal writings, and that is false writings from the 2nd and 3rd and 4th centuries that talk about mass crowds of Jerusalem coming out to witness the exit of Jesus from the tomb. That's not what was going on here. They came like you and I would. Do you ever go put flowers on the grave of someone who is deceased? Maybe at the funeral it was a little crowded. Maybe there were too many people around for you to express what you wanted to. So a few days later, you come with perhaps a bouquet of flowers, a spray of flowers. And you come to the tomb and you stand and maybe you say words to express love and things like that. And you lay the flowers there. And when you're done, you leave. That's what the end of verse 1 is talking about. So that they might come and anoint him. The women didn't expect to come and to find the stone rolled away. The surprise that they had is shown in the text that we read. What we see in this is that they came to further honor Jesus. Now let's be clear here. The women were well aware that there would be decay involved. They were not stupid. They were not without understanding. If a person dies 2 or 3 days later, you're going to notice it, right? Unless there are extenuating circumstances like below zero temperatures or something like that. Or perhaps the person has been resurrected. Now, they didn't expect number two. What they expected was that Jesus would be in the tomb, that he would be where they could anoint him. So they come on the first day of the week very early at sunrise. They're speaking. Who's going to roll away the tomb and stone from the tomb? And lo and behold, they arrive and that very stone is rolled away. As we go down through here, we see the angel speaking to them. Now Matthew and Mark talk about angels being there. Matthew talks about the one on the stone. Mark considers the one that's inside the tomb. Nothing unusual about that. Divergent details, that is, details of the same incident from the perspective of a different person that shows some of the events taking place maybe at the same time, is not uncommon. What we do see here is a string of events that are very important. The women are scared, verse 8. They flee from the tomb. Trembling and astonishment had gripped them. Look down at verse 9. In verse 9, we see that after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. notice verse 11, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. They rejected it. Why would they reject that? I mean, the women were there. They saw, they spoke to, they listened to, and they came and told the story. What would you say if, in that scenario we talked about earlier, someone that you loved had died? You come back to the grave to put a bouquet of flowers there upon the grave, and somebody that would essentially glow in the dark tells you, "Hey, don't look for them here, they're alive." What if you tried to go convince other people of what you'd been told? You understand that they probably would put you in one of those nice jackets that ties in the front with both your arms restrained. And they would have took you to, as we referred to it when I was little, to a padded room, because you've left your senses if you think a dead person after 3 days is alive again. Now, they had heard what Jesus said. They knew that Jesus had said, as the sign of Jonah, Matthew chapter 12, "I'm going to be raised after 3 days." They'd heard what Jesus said. Matthew 16, he said the same thing. John chapter 2, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up." Later on, the disciples would understand he was talking, John would go on to say, about how he would be resurrected. But that's not what they thought here. You see, they didn't believe. They didn't believe he'd been resurrected. The women, again, were the first witnesses of what had happened that day. We go in the Gospel of Luke to Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, we see some of the statements of the witnesses of the resurrection. That is, of the event having taken place. Matthew 24, or Luke 24, excuse me, we consider from verse 1 all the way down to verse 12, and we get the same information, plus a little more, plus even a little more. And we read the text again. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. "On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came," and that is the women, from the event of verses 50 through 56 in chapter 23, the women that had witnessed the burial. "They came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. As the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, also the other women who with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. They would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened." Now, as you read through the text here, again, you run on to the interesting idea that no one expected this to happen. Now you and I, looking back from 2,000 years later and aware of the full story, the prophecies, the events that happened to fulfill the prophecies, the aftermath of the resurrection and all these things and the ascension, we look at that and we ask ourselves, well, why didn't they understand? Well, the same reason that you and I don't understand current events either. You see, they had nothing of what we have, except the prophecies. Now, they had the words of Jesus, but they didn't believe that, or they would have known that he was going to be resurrected, but they didn't understand. It's interesting to note that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Now, we're going to talk about these in just a few moments, but right now, let's take a break and listen to a song.
Someday you'll answer the question of why. What will your answer be? your knee, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
So what we have, remember, are the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that deal with the women arriving. Now, Matthew informs us about one of the angels that was sitting on the stone. Mark talks about another one inside. Luke points out that, as with many cases in the Scripture, there was more than one, two angels there. And what we have, though, in consistency is a picture given across the board that reports simply the statements of the eyewitnesses without changing them. Now, you would think if there was some collusion here in order to get the story exactly straight so everyone would see and believe, then you just never have been in a court of law. Because in a court of law, if witnesses were to agree on every exact detail, state everything exactly the same way, and not report what is called technically divergent details, then you would know, if you were the judge, that these witnesses have been coached. These are not coached witnesses. The sources of Matthew, the sources of Mark, the sources of Luke all tell the exact story that they saw. Those in Matthew noted and paid attention to, gave preeminence to the angel on the stone. In Mark, it was the angels in the tomb. In Luke, it is those angels who speak and who identify what had happened as the women are trying to take this all in. I don't have a problem with this because I've seen witness statements that all are true. But if you lay them side by side, you have added details to the sum, as opposed to contradiction. There is no contradiction. So, what we see here is women who did not expect the resurrection come to the tomb. They find the stone rolled away. They enter the tomb. And when they entered the tomb, the body of Jesus is not there. Now, an empty tomb doesn't prove the resurrection, and I want you to be well aware that I am clearly stating that. An empty tomb does not prove the resurrection. It is the empty tomb plus the appearances of Jesus to those who did not believe, those who did not expect the resurrection. You see, you can't have 500 plus witnesses that have a shared hallucination. That doesn't happen. They don't have that kind of ability to interconnect their minds in that sense, and witness the same hallucination. The picture here in Luke is that as the women see the dazzling apparel of those standing by, in verse 4, they are, in verse 5, terrified, bow to the ground, and they are asked why they're seeking a living one among the dead. You and I understand that, don't we? We see verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. We understand that. Notice that the speaker does the same thing that we saw in Mark. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. And Matthew 17 records some of that. Matthew 16, various places throughout the gospel accounts. saying, verse 7, that that Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now, verse 8 is a very essential verse in understanding the events that were taking place. They remembered his words. Now, they didn't remember the words of the angel. They remembered the words of Jesus. You see, as Jesus had told them these things. Did they understand what was going on that day? I don't know that they did. I don't know that they understood exactly what resurrection meant or anything, but they knew that something happened and that there was a difference in all of creation now. They remembered his words. Now, verse 9 says that they returned from the tomb, reported all these things to the 11 and the rest. Look down at verse 11. These words appeared to them, that is, to the 11 and the rest, as nonsense. They would not believe them. You and I need to understand that the events around the resurrection took place because God willed them to take place. The witness of the women, the guards at the tomb, the angels that spoke, is very important for us to understand. A whole new concept of existence was upon these people, and they were struggling to wrap their minds around what was going on. The identity of the women given in Luke chapter 24, verse 10, is very clear. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who were with them were telling these things to the apostles. It's interesting to note that in a society where the testimony of women was not accepted in a court of law, the first witnesses that God chose of the reality of the life of Jesus, having seen him, Matthew records, Mark records, having seen him, were women. Why? Well, because God is no respecter of persons, number one. And number two, to allow us to understand a little bit more of the evidence that speaks to the truthfulness of what's being said. If you were writing, living in that time, and you were writing this account trying to gain credibility for the resurrection among those who didn't believe the resurrection, would you allow the women to be the first witnesses? Wouldn't you do something like this? Well, the apostles were waiting outside the tomb. They were seeking to see the resurrected Jesus. You'd say something like that. You wouldn't appeal to people whose testimony wouldn't be accepted in the court of law to testify to the single most important aspect of the death, the burial of Jesus. The fact that his death and his burial weren't the end. They were the beginning. It was the women. With that note, let's listen to another song. Now, if this is the case, that the gospel writers, the writers of these accounts, were not concerned with putting on a show in order to be believed, what were they actually doing? Well, let me tell you the obvious conclusion, at least in my sight, it looks obvious to me, that they were stating simply the truth. This is what happened. The women, as we said, who were not acceptable to testify in the court of law in that society, whether it was Roman or Jewish, by the way, were the ones who saw and began to believe, as opposed to the apostles themselves, who needed something more than the testimony of the women. Now, we're going to see as we go through here, and it's not going to be today, but we're going to see as we go through these accounts and sift even further in these, that Jesus got on to them, the apostles, for not believing on the basis of the women's testimony. And yet what we see is that God turned that around for good, like Romans 8:28 says, in it, for instance, in the statement that was made that we read last week in 1 Corinthians 15, all of these 500-plus witnesses. Do you understand that part of the 500-plus witnesses were these women? The group of women who had traveled with Jesus, that is mentioned here in verse 10 of Luke chapter 24, the other women who were telling these things to the apostles, this group of women was the first line of statement about the resurrection of Jesus. The second line, by the way, would have been those soldiers in Matthew 27 who were sent there to guard the tomb, who went and told the Jewish leadership something happened. Now, they might not have said exactly what they thought happened. It's kind of like a pilot in a jet that sees a UFO and doesn't want to report it because he doesn't want people to think they're nuts. Now, let's grasp what's going on. Jesus has been resurrected. The women have seen him. The guards didn't see Jesus, but they reported something happening, were paid off to lie. And in the meantime, the women have come to the apostles. The apostles have been told, and they don't believe it. That's where we're at in the story, the events that take place. Now, there's still the account of John that we're going to look at. We're not going to have time to do that today. But there is the account of John that details the same basic story. What you and I see from these accounts is that an historical event took place to which there were eyewitnesses. And when there are eyewitnesses, unless we can disprove their credibility and take them out of the picture as liars, lunatics, then we have reason to believe them, unless we can disprove them. Join us next week on The Word of Life. We'll continue our study on that very subject. God bless you through the week.